Thank you, brother. Please stand with me if you can for the reading of God's precious word. Psalm 30. We will read all 12 verses in the psalm. A psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. I have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing you praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. May God add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. You may be seated now. As we just read, this is a psalm of David. In the superscription it says, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. In the Hebrew text it says, a song of David for the dedication of the house. I believe it is none other than the house of God. That is what being talked about here. We know from the scripture, God did not allow David to build a temple for him because he was a man of war. He shed so much blood. But instead, his son Solomon built the temple for the Lord. But David collected all the building materials, everything ready for the temple. But Solomon actually built it. David did all the preparation. I believe this psalm was written by David with a desire to have it read when the temple was finished. The key verse in this psalm, as I see it, it is verse 5. There we read, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In the real lesson of the psalm, we can find in the context of the psalm, that is, in the background. There we can see in the real lesson. In fact, in First Chronicles chapter 21 and Second Samuel chapter 24, we can read why David wrote this psalm. In fact, I believe Psalm 30 is a commentary on what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24, and 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I like to read 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1, where we read, again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and number Israel and Judah. Then we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. When we put these two verses together, we find out that God was angry with Israel and David for their self-confidence and their pride. He let Satan tempt him. David forgot that they have come this far by the mercy of God and by the grace of God. In their prosperity, they thought they can go without God. God dealt with their pride and he dealt with them severely. This was a time of great prosperity. There was peace in the land and no strong enemy to fight Israel. Israel forgot where they got the strength. They lost their dependence on God and they acted like there was no need for the Lord. Dear ones, this can happen in our lives too. I am talking to Christians. Spurgeon said in the Treasury of David, when God's children prosper one way, they are generally tried in another. For few of us can bear unmingled prosperity. Only few of us can. Because when things are going bad, we pray. When we lose our job, we pray that we'll get a job. When we are sick, we pray that God will heal us. When we are in trouble, we pray for his help. But when things are going well, there's a tendency to forget God. We forget where we got all this from. Who gave us this prosperity? Who gave us this strength? We forget it. In Psalm 119 and verse 67 we read, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. That is Psalm 119, verse 67. In verse 71 we read, it was good for me that I was afflicted. That's what Psalmist is saying, that I might learn your statutes. Sometimes we see only prosperity. We forget where we got it from. Sometimes we think it is my own strength. It is our own strength. I got all these things. So one day, David called his military general Joab and asked him to count the people. David asked Joab, go and get an accurate count of the people of Israel. Joab try to talk him out of that. We will look at that passage. Job tried his best to talk out of it. But David played that who is the boss card. And he won. Job and his men went out to count the people. David was not taking a census for political reasons. He was not. He wanted a number he can boast about. He wanted a number he can boast about. Then he can say, I have this many people as my military men. I have this much. He just wanted to boast about these things. No other reason. But there is also one other reason we can find. God was upset with them. If we look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 13. Book of Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 30. There we read, the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them. That there be no plague among you when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Half a shekel is an offering to the Lord. He did not do that either. He was motivated by pride. Then Joab took his time to count the people. It says in 2 Samuel, he took 9 months and 20 days, almost 10 months to count the people. Almost 10 months. Dear ones, God is behind it. He gave David almost 10 months to repent of his sin. Almost 10 months. After 10 months, Joab came back with the number. By the time God struck him, he was convicted. In 1 Chronicles 21, 12 we read, 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 12, Gad, the prophet, was sent to David by the Lord with three choices. You have three choices to make. That's when David cried out for mercy. This became a national crisis. God told David through Gad, you have three choices. The first one is, shall 3 years of famine come to you in the land? 3 years of famine. Or shall there be, or will you flee 3 months before your enemies, that your foes, while they pursue you? The third one, or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in the land? Three tough choices. 3 months of famine. 3 years of famine. 3 months. Is the enemy chasing you? Or 3 days of pestilence? It's a very tough choice. David told Gad the prophet, I am in great distress. I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. I am going to make the safest choice. Lord, I am going to put my hope on you. I cast myself at your feet. God sent a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. You know how many people were killed? 70,000 people died in one day. 70,000 people died in one day. God will always punish our sin. He will always punish our sin. But God is also gracious. He is gracious. Then we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Through Gad, God told David. That is 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Starting with verse 18. Now the angel of the Lord had commanded God to say to David that David should go up and raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. That is where David saw the angel of the Lord. So David went up to the floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And Ornan was at the threshing floor. David told him, I will pray, I will pay for this little piece of property. And I am going to build an altar for the Lord. The Ornan the Jebusite told, Lord, you take it free. You take it free. You can take the oxen, not only that, you can take the oxen and the wood for the burnt offering. David said, no. I won't offer burnt offering for the Lord. That cost me nothing. I won't offer burnt offering for the Lord, to the Lord. That cost me nothing. So David paid the full price for the threshing floor. And 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 1 we read, then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offerings for Israel. He built an altar for the Lord. But the angel of the Lord, with the sword in his hand, when he was standing by the threshing floor, David was so frightened. He was so frightened. There is no proof in the Bible that David ever went back to the tabernacle again because he was so afraid of the presence of the Lord. Then he built an altar there for the Lord. And then later on, the temple was built at the same place. It is believed that it is on the same mountain where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, Mount Moriah, 850 years earlier. It is the same mountain. I have a quote from H.A. Ironside. It says, "In amazing grace, God overrules all to make David's sin the means of showing the site for the future temple of God." In amazing grace, God overrules all to make David's sin the means of showing the site for the future temple of the Lord. And one more thing. It was Solomon who built it. Every time we think about Solomon, we think about Bathsheba. When we think about Bathsheba, we think about his first sin. That Solomon is the one who built the temple. And his second sin, in God's providence, the place where in the angel of the Lord was holding he built the altar for the Lord. I believe it is after this that David wrote this psalm. And I believe during this time, David got really sick. Maybe he also was hit with a pestilence. But God healed him. Now we go to Psalm 30, verse 1. There we can see in those three verses, 1 to 3, David's beginning pledge of praise. He says, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up," or lifted me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. I will extol you, O Lord. I will lift you up, O Lord, because you have lifted me. And you did not let my enemies rejoice over me. Then he says, "O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life among those who go down the pit. I was so close to death. In fact, it was like I was dead already. It was that close, but you healed me." So I will extol you and I will lift up your name. Here David is celebrating the good hand of the Lord in protecting him from his enemies and healing him from serious sickness. David had so many enemies. He had enemies in his own family, his own kingdom, his own household. But he says, "You did not let them rejoice over me." Can you imagine? God was going to do 3 days of pestilence. But in his grace, he stopped it after one day. Can you imagine if it lasted for another 2 more days? In one day, 70,000 people died. And he's saying, "I will extol you, Lord. I lift up your name high." Dear ones, we have so many reasons this morning to lift up his name high. I want to quote a quote from Spurgeon again. We may see a few of them from Charles Spurgeon. I thought that was the best place to go. He's saying, grace has uplifted me, uplifted us from the pit of hell, from the ditch of sin, from the slough of despond, from the bed of sickness, from the bondage of doubts and fears. Have we no song to offer for all this? That's what David is doing. He is offering his praises, his worship. It is a very reasonable thing to do, to lift him up. When a man's heart is lifted up, it is pride. When we lift up the name of our Lord, that is worship. That is praise and worship. And about lifting up, the word lift up, it means, it is like in Hebrew, lifting up a bucket of water from a well. I have done it when I was young. Those wells are so deep, 50, 60 feet deep sometimes. God lifted him up. Here it says, then David lifted him up because God lifted him up. What is our application here? Spurgeon again says, how high has he lifted us? Do we ever meditate on it? How high has he lifted us? He lifted us up into the children's place to be adopted into the family. Dear ones, he just lifted me up from the pit. And if I'm able to go to heaven, I will be happy with it. But our God wasn't satisfied. He adopted us to the family. Then he says, lifted us up into union with Christ to sit together with him in heavenly places. It cannot get any better than that. He lifted us all the way high. Lift high the name of God, for he lifted us above the stars. Dear ones, that is our position today. That is our place today. He lifted us all the way to the heavenlies and blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So let us lift up his name together. Then we go to verses 4 and 5. In verses 4 and 5, David is calling upon the saints. It says his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. I have seen people quoting these verses to unbelievers, but I don't believe so. He is talking to believers. He is talking to the saints. He is saying, in this psalm, David is addressing a particular situation in his life, something that we just mentioned. And he says, it is not like saying, sometimes we hear, take the bad with the good, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, or in every cloud there's a silver lining, or something like that. It is not like that. This is for believers. It says, for his anger is for a moment. Because David experienced it. 3 days of pestilence stopped in one day. His anger is the righteous anger. It is talking about discipline. It is talking about chastisement. Dear ones, God's discipline, it is brief. It is brief, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Weeping may tarry for the night. The idea is a guest coming and staying with you overnight and then leaving in the morning. That is the idea here. Here says his anger or his discipline is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Dear ones, he is calling upon other believers to join him in worship and thank him for his holiness. The basis of God's judgment and the basis of his pardon, his holiness is the basis for both of those. That's why he's saying, thank God for his holiness. Then he says, for a child of God, discipline is brief, but his favor is for a lifetime. This is the truth that can comfort only a believer. In David's case, we found out what happened. For those who are not children of God, who are not born again, their night and their weeping may never end. If you are not born again, if you are not a child of God, your weeping may never end. It will be for all eternity. I know for some believers, they will weep through their whole life. I have seen believers like that. That happens to their life. Not because of their sin. But for a child of God, the night will be over soon. And there is a morning coming. There is a morning coming. That's what this psalm is saying. It's saying, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And then, verse 6. Starting with verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. I call it David's testimony. David is saying, as for me, I think the King James Bible says, now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Let me say something. In this world, the only person who can say, or who could say, I shall not be moved, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Other than our Lord, no human being ever born in this world can say, I will not be moved. I shall not be moved. Bible says, the world, the foundations of this world, earth, is established on waters. It is on a moving surface. There is nothing that can be said, we can say, one more. Only our Lord can say, shall not be moved. Here David said, it is in the past tense. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. How could he say that? That is what pride did. That is what his pride did. If you look at the first three verses again, you can see four times, Lord, you have. Four times. There he said. Here he's saying, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Who gave him this prosperity? God did it. God gave him. But let me remind you something. When our prosperity, when our wealth, when the blessings that we received from the Lord We give more importance to that and forget the one who gave the blessings. Then it can become idols. Then it can become idols. When I was reading this passage, verse, as for me, I said in my prosperity. This is what I thought. Does it sound familiar? Look back to 2019, before the COVID. That's what we were hearing all over the place. Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. It did not take too long. It was all prosperity. But David forgot that his prosperity came from the Lord. Also, he forgot the warning that Moses gave in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read, take care lest you forget. 8 verses 11 to 14. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Then verses 17 and 18, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you power to get wealth. We should never forget that. We should never forget that. David's self-confidence and pride led him to this sin, to count the people. And then the next one we read, by your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. I think he's talking about his kingdom. He says, by your favor, your grace, you made my mountain stand. In fact, he's saying it has nothing to do with my prosperity. It is your grace and grace alone. And some translation says, you have made my mountain stand. Again, that same phrase, you have. For the fifth time. And then something happened. You hid my face. We read in a passage in the Old Testament, Isaiah 54 and verse 8, in overflowing anger for a moment, I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. That's all Lord needs to do, hide his face for a moment. Just to hide his face, and at once, our world will fall apart. Our world will fall apart. Everything we are boasting about will be gone in a moment. That's how David felt. Then I'll make one more comment on that verse. When God hid his face from David, I believe that was a great display of his grace. When God hid his face, that was a great display of his grace. In the purpose of hiding it, his face was to bring him back to repentance. It was for bringing him back to reality. God will never leave his children in sin. God will never leave his children in sin. The purpose of his chastening was to bring him to repentance. And as I see, something happened between verses 7 and 8. Between verses 7 and 8, something happened. I believe David really repented. Because verse 8 we read, verses 8 to 10, that's David's prayer. To you, O Lord, I cry. When God hid his face, he was dismayed. He was troubled. But here he says, oh, to you, O Lord, I cry. Dear ones, look at the confidence that David has. He is coming to the throne of grace. He came to the right place. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. That's all he could do. Pleading for mercy. Let me ask you something. David, who was so troubled when he hid his face, how did he get his confidence? He was a confident man because he was a forgiven man. He was a confident man because he was a forgiven man. Then he was a forgiven man because he was a repentant man. He repented. Dear brothers and sisters, when we sin and when we lose our fellowship with the Lord, there is no other way but to repent of our sins. When you repent, God will forgive. Then verse 9, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? That is the approach that David took. He came to the right place. I just have a quote from Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, when an earthquake makes your mountain tremble, the throne of grace still stands firm and we may come to it. That's the place he went. That's where he prayed. That is where he is making his appeal. Verses 8 and 9. Actually, what it means is, God, if you get me out of my misery, out of this problem I am facing, if you get me off the hook, I will praise you all my life. I will thank you for all my life. Here the basis for his prayer is God's faithfulness and God's mercy. And then at verse 10 we read, O Lord, and be merciful. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. What a beautiful prayer that is. Lord, be my helper. Apostle Peter prayed that prayer when he took his hands off the Lord and he was drowning in the water. David prayed. Somebody call it can be the preacher's prayer too. This morning when I was getting into the car, I prayed, Lord, help me. My wife used to ask me, did you start talking to yourself again? But she did not do it today. She got it. I prayed, Lord, help me. That is a short prayer, but it is an effective prayer. It is a serious prayer. I think every child of God should pray this prayer, but because God is there to help us. He is there to help us. Then verse 11 we read, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Look at those two little words. You have turned for me, dear ones. When we pray, our Lord is ready and willing to act on our behalf. That's what it means. Again, you have, that's the sixth time, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You changed my situation. I was crying. I was in distress. But you have turned it for me on my behalf because I could not do it. I could not do it. Then he says, you have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Here the word loosed means he ripped it apart. He took it away and he replaced with a cloth of gladness. Dear one, it's a gladness. It is a full package. He gave gladness. He gave joy. He put a song in his mouth. And he was so joyful. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Then verse 12 we read, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. David is saying, I cannot be silent because you lifted me from that pit. You healed me. You forgave me. You did not let my foes, my enemies rejoice over me. You did all this. I cannot be silent. And I will not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I give thanks to you forever. He could not be silent. But this morning, I want to ask a question. How about you and me? How can we be silent? He lifted us. Once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he gave us life. He lifted us. And we are seated in the heavenlies now. We are in the family of God. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. How can we be silent, dear ones? We cannot be silent. David said that my glory may sing praise to you. Their glory means my all being, my soul, my heart, my lips. I cannot be silent. Believers, we cannot be silent either. We cannot be silent either. In Psalm 66 we read, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. What he has done for my soul. I have a quote from somebody not named Spurgeon. We can see this. Before I do that, let me say something. We cannot be silent because in Christ Jesus we have a lot more than what David ever had. In Christ Jesus we have a lot more than what David ever had. In the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a lot more than what our first Adam had, ever had. How thankful we should be. We cannot be silent. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 we read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think I missed that quote from Bishop George Horn. Bishop George Horn, he said this, talking about verse 11 and 12. This might be true of David, delivered from his calamity. It was true of Christ rising from the tomb to die no more. It is true of the penitent exchanging his sackcloth for the garment of salvation. And it will be verified in us all at the last day when we shall put off the dishonors of the grave to shine in glory everlasting. What a beautiful statement. I'll close in 1 minute. David said, I won't be silent. And we cannot be silent either. But I want to tell you something. In the near future, every attempt will be made by the enemies of Christ and His word to silence us. I believe every attempt will be made to silence us by the enemies of Christ. But we have an answer that we read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. We must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. Let me tell you with full confidence, we won't be silent. We cannot be silent because our enemies don't have the last word on our life. Persecution doesn't have the last word in my life and your life. With all due respect, let me tell you this. The government doesn't have the last word in my life and your life. Satan doesn't have the last word. Even death doesn't have the last word. This book that I am holding in my hand, it has the last word and it is never going to change. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He has the last word. He has the last word. So we cannot be silent. And we will not be silent. David said, O Lord my God, I will give thanks forever. He is looking forward and looking up. And he's saying, I will give you thanks forever. It is not going to change. Dear ones, we will not be silent and we cannot be silent. We may face persecution, but God is going to give us the grace. We have a lifetime of grace to prepare us for an eternity of glory. That is from Warren Wiersbe. A lifetime of grace to prepare us for an eternity of glory. And I put it at the bottom. An eternity of glory with Him. That is the beauty of our future, brothers and sisters. With Him, that's what makes all the difference. That is our destiny. That is our destiny and that is your destiny. If you are born again and you are a child of God, that is your destiny. But if you are not a believer, and if you are not born again, your destiny is a place called hell. I always use that word. I am not afraid to use it. Your destiny is a place called hell, which was prepared for devil and his angels, not for you. But there is a way. Jesus is the way. Matt forcefully spoke on it a couple of months ago. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But there is a name given under heaven. That name is our Lord Jesus Christ. You can put your trust in him. You can put your trust in him. Then you will have the same destiny. Spending eternity in glory with him. That is your destiny. Dear ones, let me beg you, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you today, listen to him. Listen to him. And you can talk to us after the meeting. Before the worship team, come on, close the meeting. Let me pray. Our gracious, loving Father, we again thank you for everything we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time we are able to spend in your presence, in your word. Again, we thank you. We pray in the precious name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
We hope that you have been ministered to through this week's exposition of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church and services, please visit our website or email us at info@lakewoodbiblechapel.org. Again, that's info@lakewoodbiblechapel.org. Thank you for listening to this sermon from Lakewood Bible Chapel.